Well, good morning.
Morning.
How are we this morning?
Good.
For those who have just arrived, we had a bit of an early kickoff this morning as we launch into term one of our discipleship grow groups. As we met across the building, it was good to see that people ventured out and joined, and it was just a good spirit. So, thanks for doing that. We're going to talk more about it later on. So if you're just come this morning for church, we can share what's actually happening, so you can engage in that as well if you wish. If you don't know me, my name's Dominic. I'm part of the crew here, and it's great to have you with us this morning. Had the privilege this morning of sitting in with Kids Church for a little while. It's good having all leaders in different things, because then I get to float and drift through the building and hear and see different things are happening. And I dropped into Kids Church, and they're learning a memory verse. And I'm wondering if one of the kids that might be hearing me right now remembers what their memory verse is this morning.
Miriam knows it really well.
Miriam?
Is Miriam here? Where's
She's
Miriam?
Hiding somewhere. She might be somewhere else. Does any of the other kids remember what it is? Can you do it together? In a big loud voice? No, they're all shy right now. But it was one of those verses where you just hear it and like, you know what? I need to share this because I think it's something that will help us this morning.
Do you want me to get it? Do you want me to get the memory? I don't know what
I'm saying. No, I've got it here. I've got it here right in front of me. Okay. I just thought they might be able to say it. You know, so we know what we're doing here this morning, friends. It's all good. It's all okay. We've got this all worked out. We're actually in a bit of a fluster, and there's many things that have contributed to that this morning. But we're still happy to be part of what's going on. But let's turn to the Word of God and Psalm 77. It says, "You are the God of great wonders. You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. And by your strong arm, you redeemed your people." All right? I want you to hold on to that for a second. All right? Because it's I think it's quite a good verse to pick up on. The interesting thing with that particular verse is actually what's before it. They talk about when you read Scripture to read it in context. Reading in context helps you understand what's going on. And we read that and go, that's amazing. But if you look just before it, someone expresses themselves and the journey that they've been through with God. And it's not always positive, is it? You know, life's not all peaches and cream, as some people say. There is many things that come along your way. I've had conversations this morning where there's been some hard challenges in people's worlds. You know, there is some challenges that brings us through the door. But right now we're going to stop and be reminded that you are the God of great wonders, that you demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. And we sing this morning of being here to be able to worship. And I just wonder this morning, what has brought you here? And you might say, oh, that's easy, you just said it, I'm here to worship. I hope that's the case. I hope you're able to just take a moment to be able to center yourself around Jesus, to be able to focus and lift your eyes up towards him, to be able to put aside those things that weigh heavy on you and just be reminded that he is the one that stepped down to be with us. Does that sound good? I want to read it to you from Philippians 2. And it talks about having the same attitude of Jesus Christ had. So though he was God, he did not think of equality with God and something to cling to. Instead, he gave up divine privileges and took off the position of a humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. The God of all creation stepped down into his created world. He humbled himself, obedient to God, and died a criminal's death. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it finishes it off by saying, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And the glory of God the Father. Father God, this morning we just have the privilege of just being here together in this place. We have the privilege of being able to call upon your name. We have the privilege to be in a relationship with you or be invited into a relationship with you. And today, God, our expression is we want to worship you. Teach us to worship. Teach us what that means in our everyday life. Teach us what it means to be a follower of you, Lord. Help us to learn and to relearn and rediscover the beauty that is held in your hands. So, Father God, we do come to worship. We come to hold your name up high. And may the meditation of our hearts and our minds be worthy and acceptable to you this morning. In this place, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, if you were here with us, you would have heard a little bit more about what's going on for us here. And this morning we kicked off and it was really encouraging to see so many people come together, to see people prepared and just ready to get on that journey of exploring the things of God and being committed to get here at 9:15 in the morning. I didn't realise how hard that might be for our family, but we made it, didn't we? In the end. But it's all good because sometimes, what do they say, great pain has great gain? I don't know. That's a good quote, Chris, but in reality it might be something else. So we just thought I'd share once again this morning, just a snapshot, not going to take up half an hour, of just some of the things that's important around here. Some of those things is to come together, to gather, to grow, to give and to go. I shared that last week, 4 G's, to gather. So what we're doing right now is gathering, is coming together. What we did this morning around the tables in the various places is gathering, is coming together, is gathering. If you had a coffee with someone this week, that's gathering. If you met around the Word somewhere this morning, gathering. I think we've got to meet around coffee, yeah? Yeah, I think that helps. Before 12, after 12, it gets a bit, keeps you up all night. But do you know what I mean? Like, that's gathering, is coming together and building the relationship. But from that, we want to develop the concept of growing. It's not an old concept. Jesus did it with his disciples. He took them on a long, long, long journey in the short time that he had them here on earth. And he taught them, and they were able to grow and to develop on their way. And that's one thing that I really want to, in getting together in groups, in coming together in gathered worship, that's an important aspect, is being able to grow, is to grow in our relationship with God. And sometimes I find, I don't know about you, but there's challenges in that. Absolutely. To discipline ourselves to be able to do that. But we want to do that. We want to gather. We want to grow. The other one, we want to give. Give our time and our treasures. And there's different ways of being able to do that. And I've seen on the table this morning, people have been able to give of their treasures, their skills and their abilities in being able to serve in such a lovely way. But we want to be a church that that does that, and we do that. And this is not stuff that we're not doing. We just want to keep emphasizing that this is what we want to be about. And also the going. Now, the going is probably, like I shared last week, sometimes one of the harder parts, isn't it? To step outside those walls and being willing to share why we have our faith. To share, why do we go to church on Sunday? Why do we come together? Why do we meet with people and open the Word of God? Because God goes with us into the going, and that's what we want to do. But Sam and I were talking yesterday about it, but the overarching fifth G that we'd like to add is we want to do it all with grace, don't we? We want to be a gracious people, gracious to each other, gracious to our community, gracious to those we come into relationship with. We want to do it with grace. We want to be a church that's known for grace. We make mistakes. I'll tell you right now, I make mistakes. Trust me. No, I know. Are you scared, Chris? Are you shocked at that? I make mistakes. I'll be the first person to admit that. But we want to be a community of grace. We want to do that. We want to live that out. You know, Jesus showed us the true example of that and encourages us to do the same. So in the going, in the giving, in the growing, in the gathering, we want to be people of faith. And we do that through faith pathways, through connect groups, and also through leadership development is key things. So if you haven't got the information already, what does it look like? 9:15, we kick off here with connect groups in the morning at different locations across the building. We have morning tea at 10, and then we join together at 10:30 for gathered worship, which you guys all got right. You got a tick in the 10:30 box today because everyone's here at 10:30. Everyone's, a lot of people here earlier. But that's what it looks like. And the groups, just so we know what the groups are, in case you go away and go think, I wonder what group I want to join. What group would that look like? So we've got a prayer gathering that meets here this morning. We've got a Salvation Army information that meets in the office reception. We've got Kids Church in the training rooms, Youth Alpha in my office down the front. And I've repeated Salvation Army information classes because so nice you say it twice, they say. Bible study, Grow Group, which is meeting here on the tables, and also the hospitality guys that lead to prepare such a lovely hospitality. So if you want to be part of those groups and you haven't yet committed, then the sign-up sheets are on the table just so we can be prepared for you. Do that. I encourage you to do that and to see what God wants to say to you in this season through that. And to do that, we want to invite Lynn and Andre are going to come up this morning. They're going to come and share with us about the prayer gathering. These guys are reading the prayer gathering. So over the coming weeks, you're going to hear about the various groups and what's happening. Is that good? So then you know, if you wanted to commit, you might get a little snippet here of what you might commit to. So you get to hear that. And we've got some prearranged questions here somewhere. We do. So Andre, what is the prayer group for?
What's it for? Okay. I just wrote, what is the prayer group?
That'll do. You can ask yourself, there you go. What is the prayer group?
Well, our prayer group this morning was wonderful, I thought. And we had four men come and join us in prayer. The ladies are welcome too. Well, there was Lynn and I, so that balanced it up a little bit. So because it's a connect group, that's what we did. We connected with God, of course, and we connected with each other. And what else have I got here? So anybody and everyone who attends or would like to attend will find that it really is an honour to meet together and pray for others. And it's pray for others in situations and circumstances. I listen to a fellow on the TV most Sunday mornings, and he talks. He's doing a series on being overcomers, and he said he asked someone, you know, you might ask someone how they are. Oh, well, I'm all right under the circumstances. He says, we don't belong under the circumstances. We belong above the circumstances. And so that's what we're praying for. We're overcomers, not undercomers. So, and as we give of ourselves in this way, in this prayer time, I did say to Dom before we first met, I hope they don't put me down for the prayer group. But that was God intervening because I've needed that, and it's such an honour to be part of it. And as we give of ourselves, the result is joy.
So, Andrew, I'm going to ask you your second question. Is if we've got something to pray for, if we've got something in our hearts, a situation, circumstance, how can we ask for prayer of the prayer group?
Oh, right, me again.
Yeah, you again.
Oh, right. So the best way is to contact Lynn or me, or Dom. Yeah, Dom and Sam. Yeah. And pass on names and requests. And for Lynn and myself, you can do it through our email or text, and we're each in the directory. And I think most of us know how to contact Dom. So that's send it through text or email, and I'll mark it in the book, and we'll pray for them on Sunday.
Fantastic. That'd be great. Lynn, what do you do when you met this morning for the first time?
We have a theme, and we talked about that, and we're going through the Lord's Prayer, and each week we'll cover one of those steps. And we talked about it only being an example of how we can pray and to build on that. And I guess there was things we could have talked about, but we didn't, and we got more or less straight into, because we've got a certain time allocation, and I think, prayer could go on longer, but yeah, we had to bring it into that time.
Cool. And finally, Lynn, if someone wanted to join the prayer group, how does that happen?
You sign up.
Sign up or turn up?
Yeah, both. Sign or either.
Either or.
Yeah. And that's all you have to do. Come and join us.
Excellent. Thank you, Lynn and Andre. It's we're really privileged to have you guys take part in this way to be able to lead.
Hello, everyone. So, Anna, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our group. So, one of the things that we're set on is that the group that we're running. Sorry, is that volume up a little bit? Oh, yeah. Something we were quite set on with is that it would be a time of gathering together and sharing in testimony and looking at God's word. And it's really quite exciting. We're very excited about this. We thought on it, and it's a big part of our heritage, both here at Gungahlin, through the Salvation Army, as well as through the church. We see small groups, time of sharing, time of testimony, together through throughout the Bible as well. So a big part of what we were saying was that it's not a study, but it's a place where you can explore how God's word has spoken to you through testimony and reflection, and really find out what God has in store for you through fellowship, prayer, and exploring his word. So it was a God thing when we were talking to Dom about this project that we were starting off on, was really spoke to me that, you know, we've previously had groups like, you know, SMS, which Marie ran a while back, and we thought, well, yeah, we don't want it to be a study. It's really about that time share. But the name that God laid on my heart was Grow, funnily enough, with what you've heard. And I was independent of anything that Dom had said. And for us, so it's Connect at Grow, which is our group, and it's Grow stands for Gungahlin Reads Our Word, because that really speaks to that heritage. We all like sitting down, sharing time together, and reading on God's word and hearing how it speaks to us. And we're doing, you know, it's an 8-week program, so we've got another 7 weeks. Yeah, we've got some volume there. Yeah. Yeah, so really sort of seeing what God and what we're using is the Jesus-centred book about focusing on Jesus in a distracted world. And Anne's going to talk a little bit about that side of things as well.
So our heart is to... Matt and I want to create a safe space for people to come and actually connect. It's actually a journey that we're on for the 8 weeks, and we're journeying together. You know, we're not Marie, we're not teachers, as you can plainly see. But we want to bring a fresh vitality to our faith as we connect, and a practical application to our lives in the midst of all of that. So I'm not going to reiterate what Matt's already said, but I want to bring out the scripture that I really felt God gave us for running our group, and it's in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, and it says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith." So it's a journey we want to go on together. So we invite you to come and join our group. It was small this morning. Small is great. We've got a couple more people who are committed who couldn't make it this morning. And But whoever comes, you're not going to disrupt our group. You know, you're welcome. And, you know, whatever that brings will bring a freshness for each of us in the group too. So don't feel, if you can't make it every weekend, don't feel you can't come at all. Come. Just come and share together, okay? That enough? Cool.
And we've got the word for today as well.
Yep, do that.
So we're reading from Matthew 4, verses 12 to 25. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, and from there and moved, then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus travelled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick, and whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralysed. He healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went, people from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. And God bless this word. And see you next Sunday.
Let's just pray, and then we're going to dig a little bit into the word. God, give us open minds, open hearts, and a calm, tentative being to hear from you this morning. Whether it's through words that I speak, or whether it's something else that happens in this place, Father God, help us just to be open to you and to your Spirit speaking into our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever find yourself, or do you ever find that sometimes life loses its wonder? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I don't know, as a child, you look into the adult world through that lens and think, geez, I can't wait till this happens. I can't wait till that happens. Or you get to that space. And then you get there and suddenly it's not quite as shiny as what you anticipated. It happens, doesn't it? For me as a teenager, all I wanted to ever do was get my driver's license. School wasn't a priority. It was about getting the license. That's all I cared about. That's all I lived for. I got a job. I bought a car, saved up before I even was old enough to drive a car. That was just my focus. But then, like anything, over time, that thing that you looked up to loses its shine, and then you look for the next thing, don't you? That happens. What's the next thing that I can put in my place, put in that experience? If you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking actually most since January around John, around the book of John. And it's been quite interesting just focusing on the early years of Jesus' ministry. You know, a lot happened in those 3 years that he was here. We've looked at his baptism and invitation for others to follow him. The invitation for others to get on board and to come on a journey with him. We would have heard amongst the expression used, follow me. Jesus called people to follow him, follow me into whatever. And we see through Scripture time and time again where Jesus would often invite people to be on that journey. In early John, he said to them in the early stages, come and see. Come and see. The disciples asked him, where are you going? He said, well, come and see. Come and see what I'm doing. And from that, he takes them on a journey to see him preach, to overturn the tables in the temple, to go into a community that's shunned by the Jewish community, the Samaritans. These associates became his friends, and he invited them to become his followers. First it was come and see, then it was come and follow. Jesus built a relationship with them, and it was an ongoing process of Jesus building and rebuilding with the disciples to grow together on that journey. Jesus invited the potential disciples to not only come and see, but to come and take part in the ministry. They got to see the ministry before they signed up and bought into what was going to happen. And yet we find these three words where he said to them, come follow me. And it became a grand distinction in the disciples' lives when they were invited to follow him. You wonder, in the story we heard today of Andrew and Peter, when Jesus called them and they left their boat and left their nets and left their fishing immediately, when they put that aside and stepped into the new space, wonder what they had planned. What was next? Clean the boat, they'd been out fishing. Clean the boat, mend the nets, have coffee with John the Baptist. I don't know. You wonder what they had in mind. Whatever it was, Peter and Andrew embraced this unexpected disruption to their lives. And when we talk about life's got a lot of disruptions in it, hasn't it? A lot of things come along and won't say even trip us up, but all of a sudden there's something else there or something else to deal with or something like that. But Mark tells us they immediately left. There was no three-step strategic plan. There was no having a team meeting about it, strategizing of what was next, except we know they left immediately and went and followed Jesus. There was none of that other stuff. He simply asked them to come, to follow me. And that would continue to disrupt their lives in ways they could only imagine. In choosing to come follow me, to become Jesus-centered, Jesus is the starting point for that to take place. We have all received a personal invitation that Jesus gave. Jesus did not force his way with Peter, nor did he manipulate Andrew, but extended an invitation for them to come and to follow. And to move beyond that come and see, but move into this new era to follow me. In taking the next step to follow, we know that Jesus is the one doing the inviting. How do we know that God is calling us? It's when we're able to listen to God through scriptures and to see his direction and invitation to follow him. We can't hear if we are not positioned to listen, unless we put ourselves in that place to open up God's word and to hear through scripture of what he wants to say to us. To follow Jesus means that Jesus is the one doing the leading. This also reassures us that he is present with his followers. That he's with us. Doesn't leave us, doesn't abandon us. He's there with us. Not off on his own agenda, creating something else off on the side, but he's with us. And it comes in his name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel. God with us. God with you. God with me. There is no avoiding the fact that following Jesus does have a real cost about it as well. Too often we look and desire for those safe places in life, don't we? We look for those shiny things. We want to live a life of good health, a comfortable salary, a nice house up on top of the hill, and all the perks and benefits that come from life. But in Luke 9:23, it reminds us where it says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." There's a cost involved. Following Jesus means surrendering our wills, our hopes, and our preferences to be able to follow him. The surrender is a decision that begins with a relationship and it's ongoing. Every day, stepping into the unknown. Every day, stepping forward to what he has for us. Take on whatever that God might have in mind for us. So Jesus took up the cross, and we know that's... Sorry, step that way so you can see me. Jesus took on the cross and was led away for our sins. So we can't physically take a cross with us, but Jesus might have other opportunities in life's way for us to carry. Other burdens, other challenges, other missions, other tasks. Jesus was living his life on mission on the way to the cross. Was that a good answer? Yeah. To take up our cross and to follow him. Philip Yancey writes that the least manipulative invitation that was ever given was when Jesus called us to take up our cross and to follow me, because we are allowed to count the cost before taking the journey. Is that interesting? We're allowed to count the cost before taking the journey. Sometimes it involves big things, sometimes small things, but it requires us to position ourselves in a way of surrender to him, to surrender to his word and what he might call us to. This early this week, I had the privilege to go to Sydney to start looking further at discipleship. And on that journey, it was really eye-opening for me. It was like one of those things that you read scripture a number of times, right? You read through scripture and you read through scripture. You see all these things and places and names and all that. And sometimes you become a little, it loses its shine, doesn't it? You read it because you know, and sometimes you'll sit here in church and the words come up on the screen and we go, we've heard that before. And you just sit with it, you know? But this week they unpacked it a little bit for us further and really exposed or lined up the scripture in a parallel format where you actually look at the journey of the disciples in the early days of Jesus' ministry. And the scholars have looked at it and they said there's about an 18-month period where the disciples just viewed and took the journey with Jesus before Jesus actually did a lot more handing over of his ministry, before they actually engaged in ministry. Most of that time was the disciples learning from Jesus. And in that, it was really intriguing where you look at in the beginning of John, the come and see part, where Jesus didn't say, you know, come and just automatically launch into ministry. He said, come for a journey with me. Let's go to these places. Let's have a look. So the disciples went. And then you look at it on a map and you think, well, they spent a week going from this place to that place, because obviously they didn't have planes, they didn't have trains, they didn't have automobiles, did they? Didn't have those things. They actually walked together, talked together, shared together, where they actually got to see many aspects of Jesus' ministry. They got to see Jesus overturn the tables in the temple before he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Before he got to that point, they actually got to see hands-on what ministry was going to look like. They developed that relationship. They had that opportunity to do that. And quite often I look at that in our own lives and I think, Jesus gives us the opportunity to develop that relationship. We have the word that we can open. We have opportunity to gather. We have the opportunity to just grow. And we're in an information overloaded society where we can access so many things. But I wonder today, in that space, where is that opportunity for you to develop that relationship with Jesus? Where is that opportunity that you have to be able to step into that space, to be able to move your life aligned with his? So this morning as we leave here, as we head out, I just wonder, what is the one thing that you've learnt today, whether it's in the last 5 minutes or somewhere else, what is that one thing that you need, that's your takeaway today? We need the generations. We need the generations. You know, whether it's 0 to 100 and 0, we need the generations to be able to grow and to learn from each other in community. We do. That's your takeaway. Who's the one person in your life you need to share it with? That's rhetorical. What are we going to? Who are we going to tell about it? So let's pray, and then we're going to sing our final song before we do the going. We go out of this place. So Father God, thank you for Jesus. He has no equal. He has no rival. He is the one and the only. He humbled himself to enter into human space and skin. He sought your splendor and glory. He obeyed your will as a servant and died to bring forgiveness for the sins of the world. He conquered death and he's exalted to the highest place. He is the Lord of all and he is the Lord for us. And as we look at being Jesus-centered, help us to focus on him in a world filled with many distractions and desire his life in our world to be centered around him. Guide us and shape us and prepare us as we go for this place into whatever we'll face this week. But we go in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go now and love one another because love is from God. Proclaim God's gift of salvation to everyone we come into contact with. Remain in Jesus Christ and, like branches of the vine, draw your life, your courage, your strength and comfort from him. And may God, the vine tender, may the God, the vine grower, tend you and make you fruitful. May Christ Jesus abide in you and give you life, and may the Holy Spirit cast out all fear and fill you with God's love. In this we pray. Amen and amen. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll hope to see you again soon.